Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a return guest, one of my favorite people, because he's like-minded. From, the old school of practicing medicine, where it's about patient care and about truth-telling and about being an advocate for your patient. And today we're going to speak with Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. He's a triple specialized physician in internal medicine, geriatrics, and bariatrics, and also the author of a few books, The Doomsday Book of Medicine, The Bible of Alternative Medicine, and Infected, Secrets from the Medical Underground. He also writes a really awesome Substack called Medical Underground. And people need to go to that site, because I was just having a conversation with him about how great I think it is, because it's shorthand, but it's full of important information that people can start becoming their own healer, their own physician. I think we're in a position now where our healthcare system, I don't believe, is working for us in general. And unless we take our power back, we're going to be victims in this system. So today, Dr. LaGuardia and I are going to talk about how to detox. I think people are more health conscious, but I think they're getting it from, the typical sources of mainstream media. And somehow it's always somehow connected to medication and not to things that we can do to help ourselves. So Dr. LaGuardia, I wanted to thank you so much for joining me today. I know how busy you are, and it's always an honor and a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, same here, Dr. George. I really appreciate you having me on.
So from your patients, I mean, you're at the forefront of healthcare, in my opinion. And I mean healthcare, not sick care. And what are we doing to ourselves that are making us toxic from a health perspective?
Well, unfortunately, we're immersed in a toxic pool of environmental toxins and running the entire gamut from electromagnetic radiation, EMF fields. I mean, we're bombarded with just that alone. They keep upping the intensity of it. 5G, 4G, now 5G, which is literally cooking the planet with this microwave radiation. So we're exposed to that all day. And depending on how you live your life, many of us are stuck in front of computer screens or telephones and things like that, especially young people, unfortunately. And their exposure is huge. I try to do little things to mitigate it. For example, my cell phone at night, I don't charge it next to my bed. I keep it in another room charging. I don't have any electronic devices in my bedroom. My alarm clocks are batteries. I work on batteries. Everything else is out of the bedroom, because I want to get away from that. So you can do little things like that, but it's very hard, because that's an overlying environmental thing that's everywhere and really hard to avoid. But there's other things, such as the toxins in foods. One of the greatest things you can do for yourself is go organic. Now, that being said, food prices, as you know, are crazy right now as it is. You go organic, it even costs you more. But I think in the long run, it'll save you a lot of medicine and other problems. I try to advise my patients to, when they shop, to shop along the outer aisles of the supermarket. Don't buy anything in the middle. Fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, meat, fish. If you're getting meat, try to get farm raised or pasture raised beef and chickens and things like that, just because they're left. First of all, it's more humane. I mean, I can't imagine millions of cows lined up, side by side, locked in these little stalls, never out grazing. Just a horrific way to treat animals. But in addition to which, they're not in the food chain. They're eating processed foods that they're fed to. They're not grazing, and they're not getting all the omega-3s and different things they would get from grasses and different things from wild herbs and grasses that are mixed in. I have a horse farm, and we keep our horse. We graze them all the time. We never put them in the stalls until it's nighttime. So they're out all day the way herd animals should be. And it keeps them calm and healthy. And they eat a great variety of plants, because we're organic, so we don't spray anything. There's lots of weeds mixed in with the grasses. They seem to like 90% of them. So it's pretty good for them. It gives them a varied diet. Plus, it's good for their minds, being outside in the sun, listening to birds, you know, not in a stall. But, you know, getting back to humans, you know, see if you could have your diet and try to avoid those heavy toxic foods. One thing you should never, ever eat is farm-raised fish. That is really toxic. You know, they put them, they're not in the ocean, or if they're in the ocean, they're in cages in the ocean in a certain area, and they pen them in, and they feed them processed foods. And because they're not eating in a food chain, for example, farm-raised salmon or shrimp, they have to add dyes to it because they don't get the redness that they would normally get from bacteria in a food chain that provides that. And so they would be sickly looking. No one wants to eat white shrimp or white salmon. And so they dye them, unfortunately. So not only are they full of toxins, they're full of toxic dyes on top of it, and full of antibiotics and just everything bad for you. So never, ever eat those. So I try like to avoid things like that when I go to a Chinese restaurant or something, presuming right off the bat that they're not spending the money in their buffet that I'd like to go to get great salmon and things like that. And so I, you know, in your personal life, try to avoid those as much as possible. And it's not easy. I also tell my patients to, when you're drinking, you're having your drinks right away, you should only drink water, and maybe unsweetened iced tea or something like that, but avoid all these chemical drinks. Oh my God, I have patients that I'm sure you've seen it. You walk in the exam room and they're sucking on a big Coke. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what are you doing to yourself? You know? So you can do a lot of those little things to help mitigate your exposure to all these environmental toxins.
Well, you know, we talk about diet. You know, weight loss is a big thing in our country right now, I guess worldwide. And the diet foods, you know, the aspartame, the Splenda, What's your take on those? They really marketed them as the healthy alternative to NutraSweet, or not NutraSweet, what is that? Saccharin and other things we used to have.
Yeah.
Are they healthy?
No, they're not. None of them are healthy. You know, what's healthy is natural stuff. And it's interesting because, you know, you and I are old enough, we've been around, especially me, to see the paradigm shift even among mainstream medicine. You know, at first everything was, when I was growing up, my mother, fortunately, was wise enough to read Prevention magazine in the 60s. And so she was into alternative healthy stuff. However, even at that time, they were pushing margarine instead of butter and stuff like that, which we know now is full of trans fats that are horrible for you. But I grew up on margarine because of that, unfortunately. But right now, you know, the paradigm shift is way, they're back to saturated fats. Mm-hmm. And the fact that saturated fats aren't bad for us. You know, if you look at these traditional diets, you realize that the traditional societies were eating a lot of foods that were fermented. You know, the American diet has nothing fermented in it. We're the only country on the planet that doesn't have fermented foods in our diet. Everyone else, you go to Korea, they eat kimchi. You go to a lot of Central Asia, eat a lot of yogurt and things like that, kefir. And things like that. Germany, they lost sauerkraut. You know, as always, fermented foods are great for you because you have the bacteria that break it down and kind of process it and get it ready. And they add enzymes to it and different things to it. And it's much, much healthier for you. So you really should try to eat fermented foods as often as you can to help your diet right off the bat. And I told patients all the time, eat yogurt. Don't eat low-fat yogurt. That's only going to get you fat because it's with the sugar content in it and stuff, it goes into your blood quite quickly and causes a spike of insulin, a sugar, and then insulin. And insulin is a fat storage hormone. So whenever you spike insulin, your body is taking that and storing it. Because if you look at the way we evolved, I'm a functional medicine doctor, so I try to look at things the way everything should function. And normally, in evolutionary terms, our diets, you know, there was starvation, abundance. And so, unfortunately, our bodies are designed to save calories. And so whenever we get an abundance of calories, our body immediately spikes it with insulin, especially carbohydrates, and drives that fat into cells for storage later on the assumption that starvation's coming. Well, we know that starvation is not, well, it may eventually come, but it's not right now. It's not coming for us and hasn't been for decades and decades. And so for the last 100 years, it hasn't been starvation, and, you know, at least in the United States. And for that reason, our bodies, unfortunately, have an excess of calories all the time. So we eat way more than we need. And so you have to really pick and choose your foods. You know, I try to tell patients nutrient-dense foods are great. Traditional things, liver. Liver is a superfood. It's magnificent for you. It's concentrated proteins, concentrated minerals, fats. I mean, everything you need. As I like to say, there's no essential carbohydrates. There's essential fatty acids, and there's essential amino acids. Amino acids, for your listeners, make up proteins eventually. So you've got essential proteins and essential fats, but you don't have essential carbs because you don't really need them, and your body can make them from the other two. One of the interesting things lately is there's some amino acids like taurine that the scientists are realizing has a pretty strong anti-aging properties. It's really good for you. And what we found is that taurine is not present in infants can't make it. Their bodies can't make it yet. It's called a conditional amino acid, meaning there's essential amino acids that you have to get in your diet. And there's non-essential amino acids that your body can make. Taurine, your body can make. It's a non-essential amino acid. However, it's called conditional because under high stress, you need more taurine, and your body just can't make enough. And so that's why it's called conditional. And as we get older, our taurine levels plummet. As a child, as an infant, you have no taurine. Your body can't make any taurine. But once again, God covers us in nature by breast milk is full of taurine. So, you know, nature steps around everything. You know, if you look at how things evolve, you can find the answers to everything. And so, and as we get older, our taurine levels plummet. And that causes a lot of aging problems. So if you look from the functional medicine point of view, you say, well, where is taurine stored in the body? Taurine stored in the brain, the heart, the kidneys, the eyes. So all these areas that have problems as you get older. Alzheimer's, brain fog, things like that developing, your heart problems developing, kidney failure over time, your eyes, you know, going and losing vision over time, macular degeneration, things like that, which do respond to taurine. Even interestingly enough, things like tinnitus responds to taurine, which is very interesting because, you know, we've always been taught there's no treatment for tinnitus.
Yeah.
You know, taurine helps immensely. You know, it's not immediate, but if you do it over time, it does it. Depending how bad it is, tinnitus is also a reflection of hearing loss over time. Your mm-hmm. body, your brain kind of filling in the background. But if it's not real severe, you can kind of eliminate it. Even stuff like Alzheimer's. We're finding now that they're calling Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes. Because what it turns out to be is that the brain, once again, I go back to functional medicine. You know, we know from medical school, there's a dual system of energy utilization in the brain. One part of it is glucose, as we all know, that all cells in the body use. However, there's a backup system in the brain with medium chain triglycerides. So what happens is there is actually insulin resistance in the brain. And that's what it turns out very likely is the cause of dementia and Alzheimer's, because the energy for the neurons, the cells in the brain, diminish because of the insulin resistance. The insulin's not going into the glucose is not going into the cells because the insulin's not working in the brain. And so consequently, this brain doesn't have the energy it needs to function. And so it winds up, you know, in the beginning, you get a little forgetful, a little word searching and stuff. But as it begets, the damage continues, there is proteins that are developed in the brain, amyloid proteins and tau proteins are called, that normally are processed. And proteins are interesting, you know, from being a nerd that I am, I love this stuff. Proteins, their entire function is based on their shape and how they're folded. Very convoluted, it's like an origami kind of little thing, the way they're folded. But that fits into the receptors. And if you misfold it, like when there's not enough energy to fold it right and produce it within the brain cells, you get amyloid and tau proteins that can't be utilized by the brain. They build up in the brain. As that builds up, the Alzheimer's gets worse. So eventually, the brain doesn't have enough energy to do certain functions, thinking and things like that. And so it cuts back that, keeps cutting back until eventually it only has eating and breathing, and then they stop eating and they die. However, if early on, before too much tau and too much amyloid protein, abnormal proteins are built up in the brain, if you provide medium-chain triglycerides, so I take my patients who are just, they're in their early 70s maybe, and they're starting to get a little forgetful and stuff, and they're starting to worry about it, I switch their diet to less sugar and more medium-chain triglycerides, and you can buy them online now. They have medium-chain triglycerides in capsule form, but the easiest way to do it, if you like it, is coconut oil. And so you can utilize things like coconut oil, and it'll actually, if it's not too far gone, it'll arrest the Alzheimer's and stop the progression. And if it's early enough, it'll provide the body, these neurons, with enough energy to clear those abnormal proteins out as well. If it's too far gone, it won't work. Once the proteins develop too much in there, it just kills the neurons and they can't function. But once again, if we look back at how things work, that's why I love functional medicine. How does it work? I try to start from the beginning and look for answers from that way, rather than looking for a completely strange pharmaceutical, a chemical the brain's never seen before that you think is going to help them. And you, as you know, the Alzheimer's drugs don't work at all.
No.
Right? I mean, how many times we've been using, trying them for decades, you know, families, oh, please give them something before I knew about this. And, I try to patiently tell them, look, this isn't going to work. I give them B12 shots a lot too. That works. That helps as well. A monthly B12 shot. And, but a lot of patients mistakenly take oral B12 thinking that it'll help them. And most of it's not absorbed because there's a protein called an intrinsic factor of Castle in the stomach that absorbs B12. And as you know, as we get older, our stomachs atrophy and production of that protein plummets. Consequently, absorption of B12 plummets. So, but if you give it in injections of it, that circumvents that, it works great. So, there's things we can do to help ourselves, but I always try to go back to how things work and try to build up from there and provide the body with what it needs, because it's an unbelievable machine.
Yeah.
I mean, redundant systems in it like that.
I know we're going to take a break in a minute, but I want it when we come back after the break. That is such a huge, thing that we can do is prevention. I would think that our diets and fad diets like being vegan and vegetarian and all these other things, I wanted to ask after the break, can they contribute to things like taurine deficiency? And if we make choices early in our lives, it sounds like we can avoid a lot of things that happen when we get older. So yes. Let's take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. LaGuardia. And before the break, you were doing a wonderful job of explaining, especially now, I think people are more attuned to dementia and memory problems. Every time you turn on the TV, there's either a supplement that they're hawking or somebody in the news who they're, talking about memory, and we're all getting older as society. So these are things that I think affect a lot of people. Now, I've never really thought about taurine, and now I'm definitely going to. Are there things that lead us to taurine deficiency? Can our diets do it? Does stress do it? Does having a chronic underlying medical condition, what causes it? Except, the natural progression of getting older.
You hit every one of them when you just did that. you batted 1,000 with that. You blew me away. You did great. You hit every one. Some of it is diet related, certainly. I mean, but like I said, our bodies can make some of it, but as we get older, that production declines. And so you should augment it with that. But one of the interesting things with taurine, it helps process, it helps bile acid production. And bile acid production, as you know, is key for emulsifying fats in our diet. So when you eat fats, they go to your stomach, it passes out of your stomach into your small intestine, it sends a signal to your brain, that sends a signal to your gallbladder, and it squirts bile into your small intestine to help digest fats. Why is that important? Because vitamins come in two types, fat-soluble and water-soluble. All vitamins are fat-soluble except for B, all the Bs, and vitamin C. So those you could take on an empty stomach. There's always water, you absorb them. All the rest, if you don't have fat in your diet, you won't absorb it. But also, if you have a deficiency of taurine, you won't make the bile acids to emulsify them and digest them. And so consequently, besides aging problems, taurine provides energy to the cells, provides bile production, excuse me, and that in turn helps emulsify and absorb the key fat soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K that your body needs for, you know, everything it does. And so one of the things I try to tell my patients is first of all, a high fat diet is good for you. So get away from that, your fear of fat. Fat does not make you fat. You know, as people know, high ketone diet, you lose weight on it. It's fats aren't responsible for fats. It's carbohydrates that cause fat production. And so you need a lot of, so I try to get them to take A, D, E, and K. And all those vitamins, A is especially important for vision. In fact, if you have dry eyes, A will get rid of it. You don't need these expensive drops. 25,000 international units of vitamin A once daily with a fatty meal to help absorb it. And you'll get rid of your dry eyes in 6 weeks. I've done it a million times. Patients are always amazed by it. Ophthalmologists are also always pissed off about it, but hey, it works. I made very few friends among the specialists with my theories and stuff, but the patients appreciate it because it empowers them. It's a healthy thing. It only has beneficial side effects. In fact, one of the interesting things about vitamin A, you know, it cures measles.
Does it really?
Yeah, they use high dose vitamin A all over Africa and third world for children who are ravaged by measles and stuff. Wipes it right out.
So it's disheartening that our colleagues are so resistant to fixing problems. You know, I've watched these commercials and they're immune suppressing, you know, these monoclonal antibody drugs that you're taking. Oh, and it can cause other things like death, but they still have them. And you could just do something pennies on the dollar without a side effect. It's right. Really kind of unconscionable, I have to say.
Oh, there, and you know, it is. You and I are lone voices in the wilderness. You know, I mean, I go to so many, I hardly go anymore to drug dinners and stuff. And I would patiently listen to the speaker with my wife there. And I would get up at the end and give my input. Always very polite to me, but usually it was crickets. Either they didn't understand what I was talking about or they just didn't want, they ignore it completely. Okay, thank you very much. And my wife would say to me, why do you bother? I said, I got to get it in there. I got to tell them what's going on. But so many of our colleagues, I mean, it's so disheartening. First of all, most medical schools now, only two-thirds of them have a course in nutrition. They're not even teaching it anymore. Wow. And they never taught a lot of it before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just leaving, I don't know what's going through their heads, but they're so bought out by the pharmaceutical companies controlling so much. It's horrible. And they think every answer is a pill or a strange chemical. Where I prefer, and you prefer, utilizing natural things that don't, the only side effects they have are beneficial. Mm-hmm. You take vitamin A, it's, you know, it's helping in night blindness, it's helping your vision, it's helping your dry eyes, it has protein benefits, it's also an antioxidant. You know, and so I always go with the natural stuff, and, you know, certainly I use the others as well. I mean, I'm an integrative doctor. You know, I use a lot of pharmaceuticals, but I try not to. And I try to cure things with a combination of things when I could eventually withdraw the pharmaceutical part and keep the one I have in there. But so if you want to, you know, be healthy, you need the whole complement of A, D, E, and K. And you also need omega-3 fatty acids. And one of the great ones I like, besides fish oil is great, but I like krill oil even better. And krill oils is better because it crosses the blood-brain barrier, you know, and so it enters the brain easier. And so that, and for your readers, the blood-brain barrier, listeners, the blood-brain barrier is a actual barrier between the circulation and the brain, so toxins can't enter the brain. It's a great system, but it keeps out a lot of things, and so it's very selective. And that gets damaged over time. It doesn't work as well. But Ian, so if you want your brain to work, right off the bat, you have to have magnesium, B complex, fish oil of either krill oil or which I prefer, or regular fish oil, or omega 3 supplements of some type. But those are the things your brain needs to work. So when patients come to me with irritability, ADD, memory loss, things like that, the first thing I try to get them to do, and I'm not always successful. A lot of them say, oh, you know, doc, I don't want to do it, you know, but I try. And a lot of them are really amazed once after a few months on things like this, they realize that a lot of their problem was nutritional deficiencies in their brain and things like that. So you can turn things around. You just have to be knowledgeable about it. You just have to know what to do and lay this stuff out. And in my Substack articles every week, I pick something and describe it for my readers on what to do with it, how to treat it themselves. It's always non-prescription stuff, always. You know, how to get this, where to get it, what dose to take, what are the side effects, beneficial, sometimes there's adverse side effects to certain things if you take it wrong. You know, but functional medicine, we're few and far between. And some of them have done amazing things. Robert Levy was very much into vitamin C, and he realized that there was a connection between hemorrhagic fevers like Ebola and things like that and scurvy. You know, he said, this looks like real bad case of scurvy. God bless the man. He went to Africa during an Ebola outbreak when no one was going. Doctors were dying left and right. And he treated patients with intravenous vitamin C and mega doses and cured them.
Wow.
In Ebola. I mean, he was a brave guy.
Yeah.
You know,
Never heard of it.
Yeah, what a gift to mankind. You know, and what happened? Universally ignored.
Yeah.
Except from some local doctors in Africa who were wise enough to adopt his methods, you know. But, you know, you'd think that would make front page news, even on the medical journals. But it's not, because they can't profit from it. There's nothing they can do. Pharmaceutical companies can't make a nickel on it. So they'd rather try to come up with some Ebola magic bullet and things like that when thousands and thousands of people are dying horrible deaths. You know, so that stuff is very disheartening. But the flip side is it also gives us hope that there are things that do that. But once again, you have to sit back and kind of, you know, do the stuff we were taught to do. Medical mm-hmm. school, we taught to analyze disease and look at it and say, this is what causes it, and this is how you, you know, treat it and stuff. But I always like to look at something. If you have a hemorrhagic thing, if you're bleeding, there's something causing the bleeding, not just the infection causing it. It's depleting something. And what he found was all those hemorrhagic fevers, including Ebola, it utilized vitamin C. It ate it and lived on it. Okay. And it just ate up all their vitamin C stores. And some of these people had decent amounts of vitamin C because they were eating fruit and vegetables from their villages and stuff. Uh-huh. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't like us. I mean, their diets in some ways are better than ours. You know, a lot of them are organic. A lot of them are healthy, local stuff. You know, they don't have the money to go to a supermarket. They've got to grow their stuff and pick it from a tree and stuff. But still, the Ebola was so strong, it was overcoming it. And this man was able to figure that out and go there. So God bless him. Could use a few hundred of those, huh?
Absolutely. And I think maybe this is the wake-up call to patients that there's nothing wrong with you doing your own research. And going to Dr. LaGuardia's webpage, for example, is a way to empower yourself and go armed. If you have to go to a physician, then you go armed with knowledge and bring some information. There's got to be at least one out there, and hopefully you have one, who will take it and run with it. Yeah. On that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living a Solution. We're speaking with Dr. LaGuardia. And before the break, you really did a wonderful job, as usual, of giving us the facts. I don't even know what to say. I think it's criminal that people are just doctors and our healthcare professionals are just towing a line. And, you know, my mantra is always follow the money. And I think it's time that people wake up to see who's treating them. Are you being seen by an independent doctor like yourself or me, who are not, you know, haven't sold our practice to a conglomerate, don't work for a hospital, and our fiduciary responsibility is to our patient. There's no middleman. There's nothing in between us. We're not getting paid from anything outside of the patient and whatever source of, you know, what insurance they're coming in with. Maybe patients need to be a little bit more savvy, don't you think, about whether this is a practice that's corporate driven or being controlled by a Wall Street concern, or if it's just a mom and pop type of operation. You think there's a difference?
Oh, no, without a doubt. I mean, I'm unfortunately one of the last independent doctors here in most of Connecticut. Has been Hartford Healthcare or Yale has taken over almost everyone's practices. Excuse me. And yeah, and like I, you know, Hartford Healthcare tries to give me a hard time about stuff sometimes, and I just say, look, you know, I do what I want, and because I'm affiliated with them, and, you know, and I have to use their system for order lab stuff and everything mm-hmm. I need. But yeah, I tell patients all the time, you know, they complain about, oh, I went to see this guy, blah, blah, blah. You know, he wasn't listening to me. You know, he didn't do anything I asked. I told him about this. I said, listen, or when they come in and, you know, thank you for getting me in. I said, look, I'm here to serve you. You're not here to serve me. You know, I'm here to take care of you. Of course, I'll get you in when I can. I can't always promise you I can do it, but I try. And, you know, it means a lot to patients. But I tell them, find a doctor that will talk to you. He won't talk to you. He won't look you in the eye. Tell him to put down the laptop. Look at me. I'm talking to you. And answer my questions. And if he doesn't, I mean, or she doesn't, you have to go to someone else and just tell him, look, this isn't working out. You know, and, you know, it's important. But, you know, you have to communicate with patients. And you have to, I try to be a teacher and teach them about stuff so they better understand it. And it makes it a lot easier because I refer them a lot to my subdeck and just go, okay, look at this article, read this. And, you know, it's like I use a lot of DMSO for pain, dimethyl sulfoxide, which is a product of woodworking pulp. It was interesting in the 70s, the woodworkers were working with their bare hands and pulp. They were manufacturing pulp and their arthritis would go away. And they would say, what is going on? They realized it was a byproduct of pulp manufacture called dimethyl sulfoxide. Turns out it was great for penetrating your skin and decreasing inflammation and decreasing pain. And it became the rage for a while in the 70s. And then they squelched it. And a lot of states said, oh, no, this is not safe. And you can only use it on animals or not humans. And some doctors still believe that. And it all depends on the state you're in. I mean, you can buy it online and stuff. But that stuff works great for pain control. It's a carrier protein. It also carries other things. So I mix it with Voltaren gel. And say, do half and half, and put this on your skin. It goes across your skin. It penetrates so quickly that you'll taste it in your mouth if you put it on your knee like 5 minutes later.
Wow.
Yeah, so I tell patients, go to Tractor Supply, get some, they've got it there, and use this on your pain. I had a patient who would die of cancer. She had really bad cancer and had pain on her scalp of her head. She was crying. She was taking narcotics. It wasn't touching it. DMSO took it right away. You know, so there are solutions out there, but you'll have to empower yourself, unfortunately, because unless the whole paradigm shifts and goes back to something else, which I don't see it happening right now, it's not, you know, it's going to be more and more difficult. But the good news is there are websites and there's my Substack on the Medical Underground, there's other places, and you can get the information's out there and you can help yourself. And if, you know, a doctor won't work with you, get another one. Because he should be interested.
I absolutely tell them that myself. I mean, no one, except your parents and God love you more than you should love yourself. And if you feel that somebody is not your advocate and you feel that they're not paying attention, you walk out of that office and you feel, you know, that you weren't helped, then you need to move on. There's no reason to keep spending your money and right. getting the same result. Now, things like apple cider vinegar are pretty popular, and I've used it for patients who have acid reflux, and mm-hmm. it seems to help them. Is that something that people should think about in terms of a detox or something that to help them, you know, from a metabolic standpoint?
Very much so. Apple cider vinegar, once again, fermented stuff. You know, it works very well. I actually cure my kidney stones with it. It's interesting. It dissolves kidney stones as well. And so, it's interesting stuff, but it's apple cider vinegar has multiple uses like that. Digestive stuff's great for. It's just good to take overall. It helps alkalinize you, even though it's an acid, it's a weak acid, and it helps alkalinize you and works good in that regard. And so it helps your body. It helps joint aches. It helps a lot of odd things you wouldn't expect it to help. But one of the other things that we had touched upon, I think, in the last time, but never really got into it, there are great little things like activated charcoal. Activated charcoal works. I have patients come in nausea and vomiting. I give them a capsule or two capsules of activated charcoal and a glass of water to drink this. 15 minutes later, they're skipping out of the office. They feel great. What activated charcoal is, and patients think they can burn toast and they'll do it, and that's completely wrong. That's just burnt proteins and carbs. It doesn't really do anything. Activated charcoal is chemically made, but what it does is it has an unbelievably large surface area. 1 square inch of activated charcoal has the same surface area as 10 football fields. That's amazing, you know?
That is amazing.
Yeah. And so, and what it does is, you know, everyone misunderstands how it works. They think it absorbs with a B on the surface of itself, and it doesn't. If it absorbs something like a sponge absorbs things, ABSORB, absorb, that it soaks into it and increases the volume of the sponge. Activated charcoal adsorbs, ADSORB. And what that means is it's a chemical process. It adheres on its surface, so it doesn't change the volume of it. So, you know, with that surface area, if you were soaking up stuff, it would just explode you. But it doesn't. It's similar to writing on a chalkboard with chalk. It doesn't change the chemical structure of the board. It chemically bonds to the surface. So it's similar to that. But it works phenomenally well. And as you know, we've used it for years. We make slurries of it when people overdose. And we put an NG tube down into their stomach. And we put that in there because it absorbs everything. And so, but, you know, you could also take it at bedtime, but the key thing with it is you can't take anything with like supplements or medicines within 2 or 3 hours of it on either side of it, because it'll absorb them and inactivate them. So you have to get up in the middle of the night when you go to the bathroom or something and take a couple then, but it's great because it'll soak up toxins all through your body. So if you want to detox yourself, there's a great way to do it. And it comes in capsule form. You know, it comes in powders also. But, you know, it's the same thing we use for filters for everything to this day. Well, you know, to filter water, or if you have an aquarium, that's all made from activated charcoal. It's phenomenal. And as you know, all organic chemistry is based on carbon. Everything combines with carbon. So if you put activated charcoal in there, it'll go through your intestines, it'll soak up toxins, bacteria, all kinds of bad things, and eliminate them from your body. So it's a great thing to use. It's a great thing to do in an emergency if you're sick with something. Even works phenomenally well. I talked about it in my first book, The Doomsday Book of Medicine, about snake bites and things like that. Burns. You put activated charcoal on a snake bite, it'll absorb the toxins right away and you're okay. You have to do it quick before it goes into your blood. But, you know, you do on burns also, it helps burns heal and it provides good carbon for healing in there. And you can make poultices out of it. It just is a phenomenal thing to have. Very cheap, readily available everywhere.
Sounds like a real amazing thing to keep in your medicine cabinet. Do you take it at night or only if you're ill? I'm sorry, I don't know if you heard me. Can you take it every night or only if you think you need it for something?
Yeah, you can take it every night, yeah.
Okay.
But like I said, the key thing is you can't take anything on 2 or 3 hours on either side of it.
Gotcha.
You know, because it'll absorb anything you put in after it for a couple of hours, and before it, it'll catch up with it and take and absorb it out of you. But yeah, it's a great thing to have. And interestingly enough, it also will it'll soak up about 80 to 90% of radiation in your body.
Wow.
Yeah. The carbon just goes crazy. So, you know, if you're worried about all this radiation exposure we have, it's a good thing to do. You know, it's especially in light of the world is so crazy right now. These fools that we have for leaders, absolute fools all over the world, are talking about nuclear war like it's nothing. Are you out of your minds? I mean, what can you possibly be thinking? You know, so, you could even apply it to soil. The first cup top inches of soil, and it'll take away nuclear fallout. You have to get rid of it with the activated charcoal, but it'll soak it up and inactivate it. So it's a great thing to have a lot of it. I've got big vats of it, but it's a good thing to have.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Just, and it's it's inert, isn't it? I mean, it's not
Oh, so yeah, totally inert. It doesn't
incredible.
react to anything. Because I say it chemically inactivates things on its surface, but it itself has no activity. There's even a more functional one called carbon-60. I wrote an article about it in my Substack, activated charcoal as well as separate articles on both of them. Carbon-60 is really interesting. It's 60 carbons it's made from. It's a Buckminster Fuller designed as geodesic domes. And I actually have one in my backyard. I've got a greenhouse as a geodesic dome. But it's a really strong molecule. And in its it traps toxins and it traps radiation and things like that, even bad bacteria in its inside of itself. And it becomes this like ball that goes through and just soaks up stuff and inactivates it. You can buy that online as well. It's very pricey. I would personally go with the activated charcoal just for the price reason. But some of the stuff out there is very fascinating though.
I mean, it's incredible, but it's all based in knowing your physiology and knowing your cellular medicine.
Right.
And we keep trying, not we, you and I don't, but medicine keeps trying to recreate the wheel with something synthetic instead of going back to nature. I mean, nature's perfection. If you can just figure out how to use it and to your benefit instead of using things against people. I just It's frustrating, but the fact that we're talking about this, I think, should give people a lot of hope. You just described major things that could eradicate toxins in your system. I say, if you have, I guess, diarrhea or some sort of GI issue, instead of taking Imodium, maybe you should be taking the
Oh,
activated charcoal.
it
So
works 10 times better.
amazing.
And like I said, with no side effects or anything. That's the beauty of our toolbox from nature. Everything is there. We need everything. We just have to find it and use it. There's actually a company, Shaman Pharmaceuticals, is interesting. What they did was a good genius idea. They went to South America and Africa and Asia and different spots. Mostly South America, and spoke to these shamans that are out there, medicine men in these indigenous villages and stuff. And because there's a lot of knowledge it built up over thousands of years there, and these guys know they know their plants, they know how they figured it out beyond me. But and so they said, "What do you do for something like shortness of breath?" And I said, "Oh, we grind up the seed." Then they look at it, they chemically analyze it, and they try to isolate the principles of the stuff from that and come up with some good medicines for different things. What a brilliant idea. Because these guys are, I don't know how they did from trial and error or whatever they did, but they've got some effective stuff because they go, snake bite, we do this, vomiting, we do this, and all these different things. And, because they don't have their pharmaceutical companies hitting them with synthetic stuff. They've only have what's around them to use.
Well, on that note, let's think about that and take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. And again, you can go to his Substack page, medicalunderground.com. And, there's so many things out
Watch
there.
would be medical underground at substack.com.
Oh, so sorry.
That's right.
medicalunderground@substack.com. There's so many things that we take for granted, things like these deficiencies, and we think that we can just, I don't know, just it'll just take care of itself. And then we wonder why we're exhausted or we get sick easily or our immune system doesn't ramp up like it's supposed to. One of the things that we, I think, don't know a lot about is iodine. That as an ENT, the thyroid and iodine, we're pretty much, well versed in it. But iodine is not just thyroid based, is it? Does it also involve health of other parts of the body, other organs?
Every cell in the body has iodine receptors. That tells you something right off the bat. Iodine is essential for health. And unfortunately, everyone's iodine levels are abysmally low as a consequence of farming. The only people with good iodine levels are people who eat a lot of seafood. Japanese have 20 times the level of Americans. And what happens with that? They have no fibrocystic breast disease. They have virtually no breast cancer. They have no thyroid problems. They're missing a whole lot of things that we suffer from. And people say, well, maybe it's genetic. Not true. You take the same Japanese, you put them on an American diet, they immigrate to the United States, they develop breast cancer and stuff like that. All polycystic breasts, polycystic ovaries, all the cystic diseases are iodine deficiencies. And you can even paint iodine onto breasts and help it topically if people have painful fibrocystic breasts. But for all my patients who have hypothyroidism or slow thyroid, there's a second problem with bromine. Bromine is right next to iodine on the periodic table under halogens. And so it's very similar in its activity and its chemical structure. It's very similar to iodine. However, it's inactive. Bromine doesn't help you. Your thyroid hormone is T4 and T3. The number is the number of iodine molecules attached to it. T4 is inactive. It has to go out to the body. One of those has to be removed, and that becomes T3. The enzyme that removes that one requires selenium. So to have active thyroid and a healthy thyroid, you need selenium to activate it, and you need iodine. And iodine you especially need now to replace all the bromine that's in our diets. It comes from food additives, fire retardants. It's in everything. And so our body is bombarded with bromine. So if you even run thyroid hormone tests, the test can't distinguish between bromine attached to the molecule or iodine attached to it. And so those tests aren't very helpful. They give you a general idea what's going on. But I tell all my patients with iodine with thyroid problems, I have them take iodine in different forms. There's different ways you could do it. I prefer to have them use kelp. Kelp is seaweed, and they have giant kelp forests along close to the shore all over the world, and they harvest it from there. And the additional benefit, once again, I try to go to functional medicine. I try to make the medicine heal in so many ways. So in the medicines I choose, I try to choose medicines. There's different kinds of iodine you could take. I try to choose one that gives added benefits. If you take kelp, it has all the essential amino acids your body needs. Once again, the essential amino acids are ones your body cannot manufacture. It has to get from diet. So to make any protein, you need those. And so I give them kelp, a capsule of kelp every morning, and some selenium. And then I use natural iodine, I use NP or Armour thyroid, things like that, because it's not synthetic. Synthroid is synthetic thyroid. It's, once again, it's man-made. And so I try to get the beef and the pork ones, at least, so our body recognizes that. And patients feel so much different. They can't believe it. 6 months on iodine gives them energy, you know, and gets them back to where they should be.
You know, one thing that you didn't mention, and I'm curious, to the salt, right? Salt used to be iodized.
Right.
Isn't that also brominated now as well?
Sometimes, yes. It was one of the great breakthroughs in public health was the decision to iodize salt. And they did that because of what's called the goiter belt. As you get inland away from the coast, once you hit Midwest, goiter, which was enlargement of the thyroid from lack of iodine and non-functioning thyroid, was endemic. It was horrible. Everyone had it. And so they decided to iodize salt, and that cured that for the most part. So that was interesting that they did that. But people mistakenly think, well, I'll eat more salt. There's problems with that. A, there's not enough iodine in the salt to help your thyroid altogether. It may be enough to prevent goiter, but it's not enough to really to correct the thyroid problem. And in addition to which, the longer time salt is exposed to air, that iodine, as you know, is a halogen. They vaporize. It's very volatile. So eventually, old salt exposed to air will have no iodine left in it. And you're right; they're using bromine of all things. Sometimes now, and you know, for the last 50 years, everyone's been on a low salt diet.
Yeah.
Low salt, low fat. You know, once again, two things. So when I tell patients to use salt, I don't have them use NaCl, which is table salt. They use Celtic salt or sea salt. Once again, that has all the minerals in it and different things you can use. You know,
Himalayan salt as well?
Yeah, Himalayan salt.
Okay.
There's a product that's really unbelievable. It's called Quinton's Marine Plasma. Have you ever heard of that? This is great stuff. I'm actually writing an article on it soon, but Quintone's marine, there was a French scientist named René Quintone, and he was interesting. He was a physiologist and he was a marine biologist, a weird combination, in the 1800s. And he realized that the sea had nutrients in it. There were algae blooms in the sea. There was one in the Bay of Biscayne right next to France. And in these algae blooms, it was a vortex that constantly came up from the ocean bottom. And this upwelling, he noticed that everything from krill to whales were going in and feeding into this. He thought, why are all these animals attracted to this? He took it and tested it and found it brimming with nutrients. Every mineral and trace element, all of them are in there. Everything your body needs. Full of amino acids, essential amino acids, full of DNA and RNA and good things in there. And he took it and he bottled it right at the site on the ships, took it and brought it back and used that and gave it to patients. And the first thing they did was he did a demonstration before the French Academy of Sciences. And he said, this stuff is safe. And they said, oh, how safe could it be? It's from the ocean. What could it possibly do? And he drained the blood out of a dog and replaced it with the Quintone's marine plasma. And the dog lived. It blew their minds. And so he opened clinics all over Europe. And he was treating patients. One of the first things he treated was interesting. He treated infertile women. And he gave them this, women who had repeat miscarriages or just couldn't get pregnant. And he had so many of them became pregnant, they called them Quintone babies. It became the rage in Europe. And he had clinics there for up until World War I. And then after the war, once again, the pharmaceutical companies crushed them. And it's available today. You know, it's great stuff. And they have two types. They have the... One is hypotonic, one is hypertonic. What happens is the oceans, since from evolutionary times, when the man developed, you know, evolutionary from the oceans, they came out of it. That was a lot less salty than the ocean is now because of salts on the land dissolving, going into the water. So the salt content is much higher. But he has a hypotonic version of it that is diluted down with spring water to give it just to make it the same tonicity as our human blood. And there's a hypertonic one as well. But he cured all kinds of diseases with it because, interestingly, what this worked on was the extracellular matrix, something we ignore completely. We always talk about the cell and everything within the cell, but that cell is embedded, as you know, in this sea of extracellular matrix where oxygen, nutrients, everything has to cross to get into the cell. If that's sick and polluted and not healthy and not functioning right, the cell gets sick. It's similar to use the analogy of a fish in a fishbowl. If the water is the extracellular matrix, that's polluted and dirty, the fish is not going to be healthy. Same thing with the cells. If they're in the extracellular matrix that isn't healthy, it's very hard for them to be healthy. And so to this day, it's great stuff. You know, I have patients doing a lot, go on it. It works great to rebuild that extracellular matrix where we have no other option to do that with. And it's totally ignored by medicine.
That's fascinating. How would you get that? I mean, it's not.
Oh, it's on, you get it on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. It's great stuff. And, you know, it's readily available. You take it for a while. You take a vial every day. It actually still comes in these glass ampules, same way they made it in the 1800s. But it's great stuff. They haven't changed. They had to move the company to Spain for political reasons. In France, for some reason, they were giving them a hard time. Through to pharmaceutical companies once again, you know. Like you said, follow the money.
Always. Yeah. No, time goes way too fast. And it was just primer, this our conversation. I have so many things I want to go and look up and add to my regimen because you're just a wealth of information. I love what you do, and I really would love to have you come back anytime.
Anytime you want. I'm here.
Once again, how can people read what you write on your Substack?
And go to Substack, Medical Underground at Substack.com. The A with the circle on that at. just type it in with no spaces. It'll bring you right to it. Just punch in. You can subscribe there. Or you can read my books, the Doomsday Book of Medicine, the Bible of Alternative Medicine, and my most recent one, Infected Secrets from the Medical Underground. But every week I write articles on Substack for that, that are made for the public, that are made for physicians. So anytime I use any terminology in there, I explain to you exactly what I'm talking about so I don't lose my readers in there.
Well, as I said before we started the show, I'm going to be referring my patients to your Substack because it augments what I can do to help them in my practice. And every doctor listening to this, and quite frankly, every patient needs to go to your website and empower themselves because you are just a gift. So I want to thank you again for joining me.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.